Blog Talk Radio.
We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the good old United States of America. This is the 1022nd episode, and the telephone number to listen is 323-870-4174, and please press #1 to talk to the host. The title of this show is called Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts. To listen to the show on the internet, please type www.blogtalkradio.com. That is BLOGTALKRADIO. .com, and type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts. That is Peripheral Visions, Visions, by Antonia, Antonia Betts, Batts. Select either live shows or title at the icon bar, and you can listen live or to review the previous shows. Tonight's show is titled Guns, Guns, and More Guns. Recently, an 11-year-old baby was shot 4 times while riding in the back of a vehicle, as the adult driver was not the target. And a 2-year-old toddler was shot and killed also the day after. Where are the guns coming from? What are we going to do about them? Also, the police sometimes can get a bad reputation for lack of good communication and public relations from the general public, especially in low-income environments. Well, here's a recent story about a hero officer with a heart as he saved the citizens. Plus, entertainment awards ceremonies. There are many, and the chosen are few. Again, good evening, everyone. Have you ever wondered where so many guns that are on the streets are coming from and are unlicensed or they are licensed either? According to the PBS hotline called Hot Guns, How Criminals Get Guns, another large source of guns used in crimes are unlicensed street dealers who either get their guns through illegal transactions with licensed dealers. Straw purchases. That's right, STRAW, purchase. Or from gun thefts. These illegal dealers turn around and sell the illegal guns on the street, according to the author, that is. The many questions, he said, I wanted to ask in my book called The Future of Guns is, where criminals really get guns. I hope that the American firearms division could help us with their agency. Well, on August 12, 2014, a publication called Inside the Black Market for Guns was written in a Forbes magazine. The interviewer there asked, "So, I said," he said, "just tell me, how are guns really available, and how do criminals get guns?" Well, Agent Charge Mulham, he tossed his head and he asked, "Where can I begin?" So the interviewer replied, "How about with how much handguns go for these days on the black market?" Well, Agent Mulham said, "Well, a quality pistol like a Glock might go for double or triple the retail value. Lower quality guns, however, are often worth only $100 or $200 more than the retail price." Agent Mulham and the other two agents, named John Curtis and Jason Zamiloff, all decided to weigh in and comment and agree that there is no precise formula for what handguns go for on the street. But basically, guns are so readily available because the black market price is typically just a few hundred dollars more than retail. Also, a few hundred dollars doesn't seem like much of an incentive to tempt a licensed gun dealer into going into the dark side. So the interviewer said, "I commented that even for double or triple retail, someone with a business to lose would be an idiot to risk a felony conviction by trying to sell guns under the counter for such profits that are so little." The agents lost their faces. They just frowned and commented as they were expressionless for a moment, and they all nodded in agreement. Agent Mulham said, "Sometimes an employee might steal guns or something, but gun store owners are rarely the problem." And by the way, "or something" may mean the bullets to go into them as well. Additionally, while referring to the guns, "they are found at the crime scene," he says, "they are found at a crime scene soon after being sold at a store. The gun, of course, was sold to someone who doesn't have a criminal record, which is a straw purchaser." Remember, we mentioned that earlier, everyone. Well, anyway, he says, "the straw purchaser buys the guns for someone who cannot. Sometimes a straw purchaser will even learn that a gun has turned up in a crime and will quickly report it as being stolen." So, of course, he, as the legal purchaser, would not have it blamed on him. He said, "This gives us a chance to open and possibly broaden an investigation into what might be a number of individuals involved in a gun running ring." Agent Mulham replied, "Criminals get guns from a lot of sources." So everyone, if you ever hear about criminals get guns from a straw purchaser or through a store for when a worker had stole it and sold it out on the street just for a mere couple of hundreds of dollars, there are also other means. There are people who they claim are selling out of the back of the car, according to the article as well. Locally, about a week ago on Saturday night, an 11-month-old baby inside of a moving car was shot 4 times, the police said, here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The unidentified baby is still in critical condition. And it was said that the baby's stepmother heard gunfire while driving in Philadelphia and the North Side. Well, WCAU television in the report, they tried to get out of the area as she continued to drive, and then about 10 minutes later, when she stopped, she checked on the baby, and the baby had the 4 bullet holes in him. So this is what was reported back from the station, WCAU-TV. Well, gunshot, it struck the back of the boy's head and his chest and his buttocks, the police said. Well, meanwhile, also a 2-year-old girl, she died in a shooting in the North Philadelphia area on Sunday, a day after the 11-month-old baby was shot in the close-by area, the police said. The guns that were predicted that the child were shot with seemed to have paralyzed the baby, and so his recovery will still be bleak as a result of all of the gun bullets that had entered him. Authorities said that a gunman fired into the home of the 2-year-old, though, who was shot and killed, while her mother sat out on the porch holding her. It was striking the child in the back of her head, and it wounded 2 other people. The baby, she died at the scene. Meanwhile, her 24-year-old mother, she's in stable condition as one of the people who were struck. And a 33-year-old man, he's critically injured. The 2 men who killed the baby were found to be criminally charged and guilty for her murder. The problem, according to them, was they had a dispute with the father of the child over drug-related charges. There's been a big, major rash of crime that usually plague low-income areas, and even more so, there seemed to be no absolute resolution of tracing most of the street guns, especially during the drive-by shootings, though. But the police detective department, they do diligently investigate the matters. According to ABC News, on October the 16th, 2019. We have a recent reportedly positive story, though. An officer with the Utah Hit Highway Patrol said that he was trying to process the terrifying moments when he pulled a man out of the path of an oncoming train. The rescue of the dramatic save was caught on the Utah State Trooper dashboard. His name was Ruben Correa. His camera was the person who was able to pick up the whole incident. The video taken Wednesday of last week around 6:50 a.m. in Centerville, Utah, showed Correa stopping his patrol vehicle and racing up a short embankment towards a car that was parked on the train's tracks with its lights on. Correa risked his life to pull the man out of the car that he was driving as the train barreled towards them. 23-year-old Correa has been making a traffic stop when a call came in and about a truck and a car that, which upon arrival at the train tracks, trying to cross it, the car remains stuck on the tracks. and the Salt Lake City Police, as well as the KTVX on Wednesday, reported the incident that occurred. Korea said, "I looked to my left, and I was able to observe the train was coming fast, anywhere from 50 to 80 miles an hour." He told station KTV that. And he said, "In the dashboard video, lights from the front of the train can be seen growing brighter as it gets closer, with only 20 seconds before impact. The officer is one of many who are definitely caring, dedicated, who are definitely considered one of the unsung heroes out here in the police force that serve us and serve us correctly. There have been a few officers who both nationwide and worldwide had abused their privileges. But we thank God for the officers who have represented and sacrificed and present themselves to and for the public very well, no matter how small or large the deed is. And it's good to share the good news." Yes, it is good to share the good news, everyone, because unfortunately we have had, you know, quite a few incidences that have occurred in this millennium. You know, the century, as they call the 21st century, in the years 2000 and the 2010s plus. But despite all of the negative behavior, all of the negative stories that have been told about some who had been accused of sexual harassment recently, like as in one particular incident here in Philadelphia, involving an officer who even had to go to jail because he kept stalking a fellow young woman officer, or somebody who have been accused of murder. Some have been acquitted, some have not. There are more officers that are definitely for us than against us. And police officer Carrera had shown you that he's one person who definitely remember what his primary reason for being an officer is. And he went above and beyond the call of duty because he did risk his own life. That wasn't an obligation. That was his caring for the position that he obtained. And we hope that we can always be cognizant of the fact that there are officers out there who definitely represent the force well and definitely represent it properly. I tell you that because there's a new movie out called Black and Blue. And in this movie, the young woman rookie, who was pretty much a new partner to a veteran officer, this is fictional, so we don't want to have anyone panicking about how people depict the whole officer forces out there represented out in the world. Well, anyway, she runs into a negative altercation involving fellow officers, and they claim she would be guilty of something, which is coming out of the car when she was told to stay there, and with her realizing that she came across a particular situation that had caused her to not only be a witness but wear a body cam as required, well, she's on the run because they obviously did not want to be witnessed in a negative light standing over a body in a warehouse. So she's on the run, and she has to rely on the help of people within the community to hopefully save her. But the negative thoughts of how maybe some people have left a negative legacy on the force has caused her to have to go through many changes and twists and turns. So in order to be saved, she would have to rely on hopefully the community to protect her, which was extremely difficult. Well, with her comments saying she's going to expose them, of course, that was not exactly welcomed. The officers that were probably guilty were in hot pursuit of her to get the body cam from her. And let's just say it appears to be an interesting humanitarian story for those who care about how the ending of that particular movie had turned out to be. It is called, again, Black and Blue. It should be out in the theaters as of October 25th, which is 2 days ago. And hopefully it will be an interesting story for those who are just curious to see how it turns out, to see that everything is not perfect, but there are more police officers who have more than one particular thing that is against them than you can think as they try to serve their country, their duty, and serve within the means of the law. So with that being said, we pray that we can hopefully rely on the protection of the force that is getting paid by taxpayers' dollars, and they can supply you with the service that you pay them with. So thank you very much on that issue. Well, in the light of, in the spirit of award ceremonies, I had the delight to be able to attend one. This was here in Philadelphia at an area of West Philadelphia called the International House. And there was an award ceremony for the media, more so like different shows that were aired on public access. And there are so many award ceremonies that we celebrate, but do we celebrate the works and accomplishments of celebrities that are televised, but forget to sincerely and celebrate the moral contributions of our fellow individuals, of course, in our communities? Well, with this Thanksgiving holiday, and during these religious gatherings and other local celebrations that are coming up soon, this being the fall of 2019, and the upcoming celebrations all the year round for the future years, why not take a brief moment among your celebrations to appreciate a deed amongst friends and family? Yes. Well, back to the ceremony that was available for public access nominees to win. It's interesting. They had, in the light, in the spirit of the larger venues that you see on the television's airwaves, like the Grammys, the Emmys, the Tonys, the one that began with the A, there are numerous amounts of them. They are definitely the larger venues, but this one was more so on a somewhat local vein of what was celebrated here in Philadelphia. And they were of an assorted type. The halftime celebration that they had provided entertainment as, they sung The Age of Aquarius, with numerous people on the stage who represent different types of dress wear of that era, which was the 1970s, maybe late 60s, and whatever. It was done very well. The music was well. And it really involved all of the audience as it captivated them to sing about something in the vein of the things that are going forward in this world. Hopefully, you all and myself could learn how to celebrate other people out there, people who we definitely don't understand why that haven't there have not been a celebration of a special type in your communities. It does not have to be done on a large scale. Maybe during this Thanksgiving holiday, on November the 28th, Thursday, 2019, as we gather around the table for those who do celebrate that particular day, and not only pray, maybe present somebody with a little gift or a token or a card, a thank you card, for a very kind deed that they have done for another human being. Something from their heart, I presume. Maybe we can go to recreation centers and ask if we can read out loud a thank you card for someone who definitely don't understand why people don't do what they do. A little token of appreciation of any form is very well rewarded by just somebody remembering them. If you have a meeting, say for example, a community meeting, and people seem to forget, community deeds are definitely something that can lead to a better society, a better community, of course, and to the development of the children and the children's children in the future. You'd be surprised at the response that people will give and share just to make sure we do not forget that they definitely should be understood as one of the contributors to a better society, hopefully a better earth. It's enough going on out here that people don't understand why people like ourselves don't seem to make more contributions than we can. You know, contributions of just not only thank yous, but contributions of things that we can contribute. Well, I've used to hear the word, this can sometimes be a thankless society. Everybody's not unappreciative, but everyone will like to get a thank you that really deserve it, especially because those thanks mean that you, I, and everyone else will not let their deed remain unappreciated. With that being said, it will be important to let people understand that if we continue to appreciate the next person, that they will definitely let it be understood that they have a reason to continue to go forward and make any contribution, no matter how small it can be, because we do not know the size of what's in a person's pocketbook or pocket. But back to the issue regarding the guns, considering there's a massive amount of guns, some people say there are more guns than there are people out there. That's something that should give everybody food for thought. There's a voting season coming up very soon, well, within the states, on a state level mostly, I believe, and maybe in other types of levels, maybe the county, maybe the city, maybe voting within your village. And with that particular thing being done, voting that is, we should take into consideration the different things that will protect as well as contribute. You know, one of the biggest topics for even a bigger voting venue next year would be Medicare. Well, yes, that is important, Medicare and Medicaid, because we're speaking about the health issues, because obviously without health, cannot work. Without health, you cannot take care of another person, especially yourself and your family. Without health, you cannot maintain keeping all of the issues that we like to hold dearly together. So here in the United States, of course, that weighs heavily. But let's not forget all of the other pertinent things. So guns,
That is an issue that has been laid on the table. That has been an issue that we all must understand affect each other's ability to not only protect us by the Second Amendment here in the United States, but also keep us all from having it to land in the hands of people who cannot seem to gather that the purpose of them were mainly meant for protection in the beginning. So why abuse it, and why cost other people their lives? And there's been a rash of, not only here, but no matter where you go, overseas and what have you, some weapons, especially guns, getting into the hands of the wrong people. You know, they show on television in Turkey guns of a large type being pretty much waved in the air, and I'm quite sure that some of the people in the village or the town in a lot of those Syrian areas have been unfortunately met an assailant who brandished a gun and became powerful by just feeling as though that the gun is what gives them strength. It's not really meant for display, but it's meant for hopefully the protection of those people. Well, at least one thing, the Syrians, they had sense enough to flee, but that's only for the people who have been able to leave that area on foot. It has not been guaranteed that they managed to escape. And they are considered friendly as far as being an ally of the United States. But, you know, there was a speech given by the president who said that they are pulling out because there haven't been enough other European allies to help them and continue the protection of those borders for many different reasons. So they felt that way. Then the Syrian people, who a lot of them probably do not have guns, were not able to really protect themselves. So with them leaving, I'm sure that there are people who are invalid, who may have been maybe crippled or way up in age, who had to stay behind and had to reach the demise of anybody who brandished a gun and really had met their own fate. Well, with leaving, it's a shame that they have to walk so many miles, hundreds of miles, in order to be able to relocate and live like human beings again. But unfortunately, this is what the world have in store for some people. And as a result, since then, one of the concerns was Turkey and or ISIS coming in, according to the reports. And just recently they said the leader of the ISIS group was met with suicide, and he is no longer existing. But according to other reports, mostly on the news stations here, they said that there's not a chance that maybe he will be able to do anything if that were the case. But there will also be the possibility of people who will still resurface and cause a problem for the Syrians, who will meet their demise by brandishing their guns and killing them as well. These are innocent citizens who just continue to live their life as usual, as any of us. Guns are not necessarily meant to be used as a display piece. Some people are really just proud of just seeing the workmanship of how certain guns have been designed to look like they can do what they're obviously meant to do. Sometimes people put a lot of craftsmanship for the decoration of some guns. But we have to remember, no matter how lovely a piece of workmanship or craftsmanship can be, they are definitely something that can cause the biggest problems we can always look forward to, unfortunately, which is the death of a human being. For the life of me, I don't understand why, for those who allow somebody with a gun come into their home, they should definitely tell them, you can't bring that gun in here if they have children, because there have been too many stories of accounts of children accidentally shooting a person because of the fact that they've gotten their hands on it. Even with some safety locks, if a child was able to figure it out or get hold of the key, it has not guaranteed that the child has not been properly supervised, or really should not be supervised if they're way too young on the handling of a gun. Some people say that they have guns that they teach some children for the sake of learning the old art of hunting in the wilderness during certain seasons, like open seasons for certain game, as they call it, which are really animals, wild animals. And that doesn't mean that the child can't accidentally kill somebody, but they said, in general, the general public who usually do that type of sport, that is their purpose for having them. But having it in and around the hands of a child cannot exactly be part of the best part of the picture if the child definitely is not used to it, especially in a large city. And in the inner cities are where people have been accountably known for children reaching into maybe a bag someone have, or somebody placing that in the bag of a child who the child accidentally carries it to their school. Most children don't realize just a little account for the show-and-tell experience of something that they found fascinating, like a gun being packed in their bag that maybe they put it here because they didn't know any better about not being able to carry it to school, can be a negative thing. When an adult can't be responsible, you know the children can also be met with a negative situation, because children who are even innocent of a whole thing, when it comes to a person being accidentally killed or maimed with a gun, have went to jail and being placed on trial in some cases. And they may be very small children, which is really a little absurd on behalf of a public representative who are sitting on the top side of the law to accuse them of something that the child is not really perceptive about. Sometimes the person who brings the gun in the house, if they did not exercise proper safety measures, they have been held accountable for something like that occurring. But there is such a thing as being innocent until proven guilty. So if anything did occur negatively about the handling of a gun by a child, then that's another thing that has to be taken into consideration. It depends on the incident and the fact that if the officer or, excuse me, no, the person who was the gun owner had been brandishing a gun and, let's say, displaying it in front of a child, have to be held accountable if they did not lock that gun up. So here in Philadelphia, they have the office of the sheriff, who in particular offers free safety gun locks. They look like a miniature cable made with a cable made gun lock That has a small lock at the bottom and a cable wire from one side of it to the other. They provide a couple of small keys, and it is available for anyone who happened to need to put a lock on their gun to keep the child from being able to use it. So here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the officer who, let's just say, used to be an officer, but who is presently the sheriff, just asked for office of the sheriff here in Philadelphia. You can probably pull it up on the website and get an idea of what that looks like. But unfortunately, in the incident of these two children that were mentioned, that has not been accounted for as an accidental shooting, obviously. That has really been, unfortunately, an assailant who happened to, or assailants who happened to engage in just crime in general. And I'm quite sure the police under investigation will look further into the matter of how and who and whatever obtained the guns. And, of course, since they were so reckless, or even really shouldn't have been so hot-headed and vengeful or whatever, they have to be accounted for the misdeeds that they've actually created. And with that being said, we all have to understand that our first priority and our main priority should be concerned about why guns are out there and maintaining, having a hold on their anger management, no matter how justified they may feel they are. There was even a man who was 41 here, who, and not in the immediate area, but in the surrounding area, who went on a camping trip with a couple of his friends. Speaking of hot-headedness, he was arguing with his girlfriend on the camping trip after being invited. And two of his friends, I believe they were 43 and 48, came upon him arguing with her. He goes to his car, and his friends, not realizing that what had occurred, he came back to the location and shot them both individually, of course, dead. And as a result, speaking of anger management, being hot-headed, he just managed to just get out of line, brandish a gun, happen to have one. And who do you know that actually takes a gun to an invited campfire setting? I really don't know. He, of course, had been shown to be arrested at his home and had to be held accountable for his misdeed. So guns, guns, and more guns have been a very prevalent situation that people can't seem to understand. They're not used to turn around and fulfill the misdeeds of a human being that holds it, but hope that they understand what their responsibilities are when it can't come to ownership or possession of them. Even those guns that are considered the guns that they happen to have out there for the purpose of, making it available for other people through what they call straw purchases. No, not the straw that you sift through, but the straw purchases of you being the person who purchases it. But definitely would be the person who would be held accountable for them being available. So with that being said, when a licensed gun dealer has a business, he may want to be careful about who he hires and make sure he do a background check on the individual when it comes to something relatable as being a vendor for him or her, when it comes to selling guns that are stolen from his particular establishment or her particular establishment. Because, you know, you don't want to tempt anybody to go into what they call the dark side of reselling your particular product on the streets. So with that being said, I hope that everyone had understood my purpose for delivery of that particular incident that occurred, even with the fellow with his friends. But we're going to ask you to hold on as we introduce Brother Rob Hudson to understand why we have the call of salvation, to understand why we are asked to ask God for his enlightenment, the enlightenment through Jesus, in order to be able to keep us all safe. So thank you very much, everyone, and Brother Rob Hudson, would you please go with the call of salvation?
Yes. Pretty much, yeah, so much, Sister Antonia, you almost completed the call of salvation. And you just want to let everybody know that this is the Product and Purpose Kingdom Network. And I'm just going to real quickly go into the call of salvation, and I'll bring Sister Antonia back on to the conclusion of tonight's show. And before I do that, I just really want to comment and just, you know, what you said earlier, like where the guns come from. And it reminds me of a Clint Eastwood movie where Clint Eastwood would come up on the guy and be like, he looks at the guy and aims the gun at the guy, and he's like, "Oh, I'm unarmed. You wouldn't shoot an unarmed guy." And then, you know, he kicks a gun to him and tells him to pick it up. You know, pretty much that's where the guns come from. It seems like, you know, this country is not as innocent as everybody, you know, believes or claims it is. You know, it's like we're always kicking that gun to somebody and telling them to pick it up. Well, you know, it's always been that way, you know, where, you know, with this country, and I'm just going to cut it real short, as far as where, you know, we're always arming our enemies just to shoot them down. But, you know, with that being said, let me just go ahead into the call of salvation. You know, this is a time where, you know, where we all feel like we're an unarmed guy just walking around, and we feel that we have nothing to protect us, but, you know, we can claim salvation. And salvation itself is enough protection that we need, you know, right now today in this world where it seems like everyone's armed and we're always walking around unarmed. You know, we don't have to pick up a weapon. We can pick up our salvation. We can claim salvation. That's something that no one can take away from us. No one can rob from us. No one can take it away from us. So we need to claim our salvation. And how you do that is you want to make that complete relationship with the Lord. You want to just let him know that you understood the sacrifices that he gave. His only son died on the cross for salvation, died for our sins. The sins that we committed, you know, you just want to basically let them know that we repent and we want to change our ways. We want to make sure that we want to create a new life, a new relationship where we can get closer to him and get a better understanding of how he has created us. And once you do that, and you can do that in your own words, or you can say it in your own ways, but one of the best ways you can, you know, I feel as though I can say this is Father God, I just repent. I just reject the way of life that I chose to live. I chose the way to live life the way you have chosen for me. And then that path is to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Once you did that, and once you say it out loud, you can say it to a friend or anybody, you know, you're saved. There's nothing else in this world that can take that away from you or that can threaten it from you. That is yours. That belongs to you, that relationship with Christ. And like I said, you can tell a friend, tell anyone. And one of the best things that you can do is by acknowledging that you can just express yourself. And that is either shouting from the top of your lungs calling or texting someone, or you can just contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Now, you can contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. You can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send that comment, question, concern. You can simply say hello. And, you know, with that, you know, that's one of the best ways you can contact us. But we're always here at www.falktalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Where you can hear any of our broadcasts, either live or in archives. Just simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we greatly appreciate anyone that does that. Also, with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. But let's talk about it with Sister Adrian, Sister Janice, and Sister Toy. And we hope you enjoy that broadcast. Also, we have restarted our morning walk with prayer on anchor.com. You can go to anchor.com, or you can go on any of our social media pages, and you can hit the link, and you can listen to our morning walk with prayer. And we're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can just go ahead and follow the link there, and you can hear our morning walk with prayer. We greatly appreciate your listenership, no matter where you're listening at in the world. We thank you, whether you're on phone or via online. And we thank you so much. And if anyone who has trouble with our main number, which is 319-527-6091, you can call in that alternate number. And it's mainly T-Mobile or Metro customers. And that phone number to call in is 333-870-4174. So please feel free to contact us and continue to listen to our shows, no matter what media phone numbers that we have, or what media outlets that we have. And we thank you so much. And lastly, we'd like to have you like us on Facebook. We can see some of our advertisements and our upcoming shows. And with that being said, I thank you so much. And Sister Antonia, the shows, the program is back in your hands.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Rob Hudson. Well, everyone, I just would like to let you know, in the spirit of doing what is right, praising God, and understanding why He sent His only begotten Son, during this season that's approaching for the Christmas holiday, and really for the purpose of making sure that we not only appreciate the presence of God and the ability for Him to render the opportunity for us to live on this green earth, we just hope that we all understand in the light of protecting ourselves, but even more important, protecting each other, we act responsibly and do not engage in hot-headedness over something that some people will be held accountable for. Many people have died at the hands of people who don't want to obtain the responsibility of knowing what it's like to exercise good common sense and good will and peace on earth, as it always had been said around that time. Well, we don't need a season to make us be aware of that, and hopefully brandishing guns or thinking that it makes us powerful or special is not the answer. Appreciate humankind, because there's not enough of us out here who do. But there are plenty of us who definitely respect it, and we are grateful for those who have second thoughts on the thought of using guns against each other. I would like to say that, speaking of being in the need for appreciating people, as I mentioned before, the ceremony of trying to appreciate the thank yous that could be extended to people who care about our communities and about each other. It will be very much appreciated around not only the holidays, but especially a little thank you, a token of thanks, a gift or gifts that people can bear just to say that we don't forget those who really care about us. You know, have anyone ever thought of making homemade crafted gifts? It don't have to be something fancy, just something to have some thought put into it in order to bring a smile on the face of the person that care about us. Well, this is one time you can say that you've done something as a good deed in return to let someone see that it doesn't take a televised ceremony to be appreciated. But it's not a bad thing to have a televised ceremony. It's just the thought that was put into it that really matters. Because we can all dress up if we choose to and look presentable so we could come to a gathering to say, you know, you admire and basically put on a pedestal the deed of the person. You don't have to pedestalize the human being, but you can pedestalize the deed so they know that you're paying attention to help with it, make a better community by supporting them with different thoughts of kindness. As a matter of fact, that may be one of the things that I'll accomplish. I'll make sure I'll tell someone in one way or the other or show them that they're appreciated. Don't have to be one person. It could be a group of people. And you'd be surprised as a result the attempts that they will make to reach out to their community as well as yourself to let you know they appreciate your extension of goodwill. Even though around this particular time we're talking, myself and Brother Rob Hudson and Pastor Toy, who is the head of Purpose Kingdom Network, we just like to let you know that, you know, love comes in all forms. And how they say it out there, it's a saying that goes, actions speak louder than words. It's a lot of truth to that. And when you show by your actions you're even a bigger person than the persons out there who don't appreciate people, well, hopefully your positive behavior can affect the attitude of the people around you. And the people around you maybe say to themselves, well, you know what, brandishing guns, for example, is not the way to get attention. Being appreciated is, and learning to appreciate is even better. I tell you, it's been a very rocky road for me to take this trek through life, and I'm sure there will be other challenges, but if, you know, I myself engage in positive behavior, I hope to be able to leave a legacy right along with the rest of you on what it's like to be able to reap the benefits of things that are just right and what's good. Brandishing guns is definitely not on my list of things to do or things to recommend, but let people understand why and what the purpose of having guns are. Not recognizing that children are watching what you do, what you say, and as you demonstrate guns in front of other people is very irresponsible. Take that into consideration. So we're going to pray still for the disfortunate situation with the child who will be probably left paralyzed as a result of those four bullets, and the child who lost her little life also as a result of the reckless foolishness of the two individuals who are being found guilty of just outright murder. Well, they say prove innocent until proven guilty. Unfortunately, they found enough evidence to prove this particular couple of guys had been responsible for something like that, even though the child wasn't the intended target. They obviously have been found out, and as a result, they're meeting their demise. So with that being said, I'd like to say I hope you all have a blessed month. Hopefully I will be back on schedule with the third Sunday of each month as normally scheduled. Next month, either way, I do plan to be available for the next line of information. And you all have a blessed month, and take care of each other, and take care of yourselves. Goodbye.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.